May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 206. 206. How sovereign is the love of God to Israel's favoured race. Paid is the mighty debt they owed. Salvation is of grace. Hymn 206.
Please, Almighty God, to bless the reading of his holy word to the profit of our souls this morning. Let us turn to the first book of the Chronicles, and we'll read chapter 16. The first book of the Chronicles, and reading chapter 16. This is a psalm of David after the Ark of the Covenant was brought back, having been away for a long time. And also, when they tried to bring it back previously, David didn't bring it back in the right way. And that's when Uzzah lost his life. So the first book of the Chronicles in chapter 16. So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, next to him, Zechariah, Jeiel, and Shemaramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jeiel, with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also, and Jahaziel, the priest, with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then, on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, even the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another kingdom, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honour are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for ever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel for ever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. So he left there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the Ark continually, as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom, with their brethren 80, Obed-Edom also the son of Jeduthun and Hosah, to be porters, and Zadok the priest and his brethren the priests, before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt sacrifices unto the Lord upon the altar of the burnt offering, continually morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel. And with them Heman and Jeduthun and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name, to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. And with them Heman and Jeduthun, with trumpets and cymbals, for those that should make a sound, and with musical instruments of God. And the sons of Jeduthun were porters. And all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house. Well, may God instruct us from his holy word and help us now to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Ever blessed, eternal, gracious, merciful, and holy Lord God, that one who is so great and mighty and powerful, and yet we believe so wonderfully condescending to look down upon us. We believe a little company here this morning with nothing worthy in ourselves, but to believe that Lord God Almighty is mindful of us. And we pray therefore, Lord, that as we gather together on this Lord's Day morning to worship, we pray we may have the evidence in our own hearts that thy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is with us, directing all that is said and done and sung. So, Lord, that our souls may be strengthened, our souls may be refreshed, our souls, if necessary, are corrected. But, Lord, we pray therefore we may always be concerned to be found doing thy will. We know, Lord, that will is a perfect will. And we pray, Lord, therefore, to be given grace to submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. O Lord, we pray for thy blessing to be upon us then. Lord, we've gathered here. We pray, Lord, it may truly be the prayer and the desire of each one, that we may be privileged to meet with our God. And, O Lord, we pray then we may have reason and cause to praise thee. We're thankful indeed for the word of God, for the great truth it contains, for those things that we read that David was able to speak all those years ago. And, Lord, we realize that such words are still important and relevant and true today. And so, Lord, as we read the word of God, Lord, may it read us and may it be a direction to us each. Oh, Lord, bless thy word. And so, gracious God, as we've gathered here this morning to worship, we're very conscious that we have here a little one for the first time entering into thy house. And we pray, Lord, that they will be with Hugo. We're thankful, Lord, for the safe delivery that has occurred. We're thankful, Lord, for preserving the life of the mother. And we pray, Lord, that now, as he's entered into this sinful world, that he may be blessed. And we would say, Lord, blessed indeed. Lord, thou knowest thy purposes for him. And we pray, Lord, that he may grow up and be a useful person to the church of God. That he may be amongst one of those whom thou hast determined to call by thy glorious grace. Help him then, Lord, as he grows up, and may he indeed know that fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. We pray, Lord, for the parents, that will grant them much grace in this difficult world to bring him up in the fear of the Lord, that they may instruct him and direct him. And we pray, Lord, therefore, that while he is young, he may come to know the Lord, whom to know is life eternal. We're thankful, Lord, for the privilege it is to be born into an environment like this. And we do greatly pray, Lord, that thou who art the Almighty God would indeed do great things. For we realise, Lord, that every one who is born again of thy Spirit is a possessor of the great work of God in their souls. And so, Lord, we pray for him. We're thankful he's been able to come here this morning. And we seek, Lord, that would do him and the little family good, that they may be amongst those who grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we're thankful that we have a God who we can come to, and a God who we can come to and express our thanks for such times as these. And Lord, also to commit our way unto thee. Lord, thou knowest about each one of us here this morning. Lord, there may be some who may be burdened, maybe perhaps heavy-hearted. We pray for them, that they may realise they come also before that same God who hears and answers prayer. And Lord, we know that nothing is too hard for our God. And so, gracious Lord, we pray that we'll come and touch each heart. Lord, let us not go away from this place today empty-handed. Oh Lord, we pray that thy Holy Spirit may descend and come upon us and touch our hearts so that we may be a real and true worshipper today. Oh Lord, forgive the many times when we've not been so. The many times, Lord, when we wasted our time as we've gathered to worship. And Lord, we've been found hypocrites. But we pray, Lord, today that we'll come and open our hearts to receive thy word. Lord, may it truly enter in. For Lord, we know it's only thy Spirit can do this work. But we're thankful we have a God who is able to do far more, exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. So, gracious God, we earnestly pray for thy rich blessing upon each one. Each one that here, those that are not here, who are normally here, those who are not well enough to be here, we pray for them. Be gracious to them and bless them, we earnestly pray. Those who are away, we likewise pray for them, that they may be blessed and thou wilt remember each for good. And so, Lord, we pray for this church and congregation. Lord, we're thankful that thou hast granted a place, a building like this, that they can gather together to worship. And we pray, Lord, there may be truly much blessing. Lord, that thy Holy Spirit may descend and move each heart. O Lord, grant there may be many called by thy grace, young and old. Lord, thou knowest what thou wilt do, but we pray there may be many signs following the preaching of the word, so, Lord, that thy people may truly rejoice in thee. Lord, we read about David rejoicing in thy goodness to him and the desire he had to acknowledge thy goodness and mercy and to praise thee for all that thou hast done. And Lord, may we be likewise. May we always, Lord, be keen and desirous to truly thank and praise our God. Lord, how often we forget to thank thee for thy mercies. Thank thee for our health and strength. Thank thee for the many blessings we have. But oh, we pray, Lord, thou wilt condescend to make us more mindful of the great debt we owe to Almighty God, and to realize that if it were not for thy mercy, we would not be here today. And so, Lord, we come and commend ourselves to thee. We pray, Lord, for the deacons here. Encourage them in their labor of love. Strengthen them week by week. And help them, Lord, to lead the church and congregation here. O Lord, do be mindful of them. And we pray, Lord, for this people. If it could be thy will, thou wilt provide for them a pastor, one, Lord, an under-shepherd who may go in and out amongst them and be that one who leads them beside the still waters and into green pastures, that one who is used by thy Holy Spirit to instruct them, to feed them. O Lord, we pray then, if it could be thy holy will, there may be one whom thou wilt raise up perhaps, and Lord, there may be that unity of the Spirit in the church here with regard to calling such a person to come and serve thee in this place. Lord, we're mindful thou hast instructed us that we'll be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. And we pray, Lord, the church here may be truly burdened that this may be so, and they may dwell together in love and unity with that one desire, thy great name may be honoured and glorified. So, gracious God, we commend this people to thee. And we come, Lord, praying for our nation. And Lord, a nation so blessed for so many, many years, and yet, Lord, for the most part, turned our back upon thee. And yet, Lord, we realise thou hast not left us totally. We're thankful, Lord, for those services we heard, the Queen's funeral, and then also the coronation of King Charles. And we're thankful, Lord, for the faithful words which were spoken in both of those services. And we pray, Lord, that through those words, that thy Spirit may have applied the words to many souls. Lord, we long for better days. We long, Lord, for the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. But Lord, help us to be thankful for such occasions in the history of our nation, and the evidence of our Protestant heritage still being set forth. We therefore come and pray for King Charles. Lord, we realise thy word tells us, when Paul wrote to Timothy, that we are to pray for kings and those who rule over us. And Lord, sometimes we are not very good at this, but we do pray, Lord, that we may be conscious of the need there is to pray for those who are over us, and especially King Charles in his new role as sovereign monarch of our nation. Oh Lord, we pray that would bless him indeed, and may he be able to stand firm against all the opposition which surrounds him in this evil age in which we live. We know, Lord, thou art able to strengthen and help and move his heart to do those things which are right and God-honoring. And Lord, we pray then that we remember our nation, remember our government, remember our Prime Minister. We're thankful, Lord, that he was able to read that part of Colossians and that coronation service, Lord. We're very grateful for it. And the feeling way he was able to read it. And we pray, oh Lord, that such words may abide in his heart and that he may realize he was reading the word of the ever-living and true God. For Lord, we know that things which are impossible with men are possible with our God. So Lord, give us that grace to ever come and cast all our care upon thee. And Lord, we pray indeed for the whole Church of God worldwide. We realize there are many in other lands who do not enjoy the wonderful privileges that we have. We pray for them, those who are persecuted because of their stand for the cause of Christ. Lord, help, strengthen, and bless them. So, Lord, we come now, committing ourselves to thee. Come, gracious God, and do bless our souls today, and accept our thanks for every mercy, and forgive our every sin. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 726. Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night, day spring from on high be near, day star in my heart appear. Hymn 726.
May it please Almighty God to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his holy word. Let's turn to the first book of the Chronicles, chapter 16, and we'll read verse 25. The first book of the Chronicles, chapter 16, and reading verse 25. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. We should be thankful that we have an account by David recorded in this position in the Chronicles of what the Lord had done and the Lord's goodness and the Lord's mercy to Israel. And of course, as we go through the Word of God, there are many occasions when God's people are able to declare his goodness and his mercy and his favour, and to come therefore with really, as David did here, thankfulness to God. And if we just for a moment remember the situation which existed here, the ark had been brought back. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. It had been away for a long time. And David had endeavoured to bring the ark back before, but of course he hadn't done it in the right way. God had given very clear commands how they should handle the ark when it was transported. And that way was it was to be carried by the Levites. It was to be carried. It was not to be put on a cart as David had. He made a new cart. No doubt he thought he was doing something good, but it wasn't in accordance with the will of Almighty God. And you and I should be very conscious today that we have here the Word of God. A wonderful book it is. And it does instruct the Church of God how to speak, how to walk, and what to do. And yet, sometimes we think we know better, and we ignore the simple, great, and glorious plan of Almighty God. Well, David did just that. He made a new cart, and they began to bring it back. And he was very pleased with what he'd done. But Uzzah, who was one of the people helping, he put forth his hand when the oxen stumbled, as he thought to save the ark from falling perhaps off the cart. And he touched the ark, which he should not have done. And God's judgment came upon him immediately, so that he died. He was slain. God slew him. David immediately realized he'd done wrong. And the ark went aside for a long time before he was able to then bring it back. But he realized then that he'd been wrong. He'd done it in a wrong way. And therefore he did it now in a right way. And what a glorious occasion that was when it came back. And you can read that about it in the previous chapter. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. And all the Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, and Kenaiah, the master of the song, with the singers. David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Then all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord, with shouting, and with sound of cornet, with trumpets, with cymbals, making a noise, with psalteries and harps. Well, what a blessing it was. What a favour it was that God was gracious. And as a result, you see, as the ark then was brought into the midst of the tent that David had erected for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings. And when David had made an end of offering and burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Always remember the relevance of such a simple statement. And then he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, every piece, a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine, and appointed the singers, etc. And then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. We shouldn't forget that. That was a wonderful statement. He delivered the psalm that he'd written to thank the Lord. How relevant it is for us today to be thanking the Lord. I wonder if you were to pause and just think in your life whether you have anything to thank the Lord for, or whether you perhaps have many things to thank the Lord for. Surely the question is, have you thanked the Lord for his favours, for his goodness, and for his mercy? Well, only you know that, of course. But it is great blessing in this. It's God honouring. And as I often say, our lives, your life and my life, if we are believers, is solely really for the honour and glory of God. We're not to wander around just pleasing ourselves and just accepting things which come into our life. We should recognise that they emanate from the good hand of Almighty God. It is God that goes before us. It is God that directs us. It is God that helps us. It is God that speaks to us. And if you and I are blessed with therefore right understanding of these things, it should really give to us a heart and a desire to thank our God. To thank our God. Well, that was what we have here. And David delivered this psalm to thank the Lord. And he starts off by saying, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Well, it's very simple, really, such statements as this, but very relevant and very important for us today. So it may be that we can come this morning and give thanks unto the Lord. Well, we can give thanks unto the Lord for Hugo this morning. And surely we come give thanks for the privilege that all of us have of being able to come here and worship. You know, we perhaps forget sometimes that there are the large majority of the people in the world do not have this privilege. And yet here we are in this chapel this morning with total freedom of worship. No one trying to stop us come this morning. No, the law of the land is on our side, and we're privileged to be here. And then just thinking that we have the Bible to read, the Word of God, not the Word of man, the Word of God. And we can read it. Oh, what a wonderful blessing it is. And yet, you know, we don't really thank God as we should. We don't really thank God as we should. I'm always very keen that when we commence worship, the first hymn we have is a hymn of thanksgiving and a hymn of praise. You know, sometimes you can go to places and it's the opposite. You wonder where you are. But it's a blessing, isn't it, if we come with a desire to praise and to thank God as we enter in to his courts to worship. It should be a desire. We have a very clear a picture of it in the Word of God through the many times where we hear and read prayers and psalms like this, and the beginning is to praise God. Praise God. That God from whom all blessings flow. So here we have this statement as David comes and delivers his psalm, and he says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name. Pray unto God. Pray unto God. Call upon his name." We're able to come here this morning, and I hope you've all prayed. I hope you all prayed before you came. I hope you all prayed when you got up this morning, that God would bless you this morning as you've gathered here for prayer. Well, God knows your heart and God knows the reality of religion. But we don't just come by a mere formality to tick a box. We come here because we should be concerned that Almighty God, as we have here, great is the Lord, the great God. That's who we've come before this morning. We are before him, all of us. We're before the great God. Yeah, what are we thinking about? What have you been thinking about this morning since you've been here? Is your mind concentrated on the things of God? Has it wandered all round? What you did yesterday, what you're going to do tomorrow, how much money you got in the bank and all things like that. Rather than bowing down and worshipping God and coming like this, "Give thanks unto the Lord," says David. "Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Call upon his name. Pray unto him." How essential it is, how necessary it is that you and I are praying people, that we pray to God. We don't just wander on aimlessly in our life. Every day and through the day, to pray to God that he will help us in all that we have to do. To pray to God that he will bless us. To pray to God that he will lead us. To pray to God that he will prepare us for our eternal home. See, these are necessary things. And it's so easy to listen to the devil and to become sidetracked. The devil doesn't want you to pray, don't forget that. He doesn't want you to think upon the things of God. He wants you to think upon everything else. And he's a very wily and very able and cunning foe. Never underestimate the power of the devil. But do remember, he is a conquered foe. Yes, and again, don't forget, by the grace of God, we are more than conquerors through the Saviour, the great and glorious one who we have come to worship today. Well, says then David, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." David was desirous that God's name should be honoured and glorified. And therefore he comes and he says, "And make known his deeds among the people." You see, when the Lord comes, and when the Lord blesses us naturally in the things of time, more importantly, blesses us spiritually with the evidence of God's work in our hearts. This is a wondrous work of God. And so here the psalmist David says, make known his deeds among the people. And then he spells it out a bit. He elucidates it. Just fills it out for us. And this is what he says. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Well, I wonder how we follow that out. We're very backward, aren't we? Generally speaking. Very backward in these things. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. You see, we've come here this morning. We've already sung two hymns. You know, have we sung them unto the Lord? That's the great thing, isn't it? Have we sung it unto the Lord? The Lord looks at our heart. He knows all about us. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Well, you've passed through a week since last Sunday, haven't you? What things has God done for you in the last week? What has he done for you? Have you got anything to say? Or do you have to say, well, I've no idea, I don't think anything. Well, he has, without any doubt. He's helped you day by day. He's given you health and strength day by day. And he may have done wonderful things for you. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. The devil wants you to be silent. The devil wants you to be silent. Sad, isn't it? Sad, isn't it? You know, we come and we listen to a service, we listen to a sermon, and you go outside the chapel and you think the people had never heard anything. You think they hadn't even been to listen to the service. The last thing they're going to talk about is the service. Whereas it should be something important, something which they've been praying about. Something they've been seeking for God's favour. And if God had answered that prayer, and I hope we have prayed, and I hope God does answer. There's something then to speak about, isn't there? And so he says, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Now then, David comes down, you see, and he tells us, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. How do you view God this morning? How do you view him? Do you view him as a great God? Isaiah did, you know. Isaiah said, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Oh, he had a vision by faith of the majesty of Almighty God. My friends, it's a blessing if you and I have a view by faith of the greatness of Almighty God. And to realize by comparison, you and I are so utterly insignificant. And how humbling it is to think that that great God who spoke the world into being, that great God who is in control of everything in this world, the smallest detail in the life of each one of us, God is in control. He is a great God. He is a great God. So often we seem to treat God as though he was a little God, of no consequence. And we're not worried really whether we do things which are pleasing to God. We're more concerned about doing things that are pleasing to ourselves. Well then, what a mercy if we have a view then of the greatness of our God. And if we do, that should really direct us in our little lives to do that which is right and to that which is indeed God-honoring. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. David was concerned, wasn't he? David was concerned. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Sing ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Do we glory in the name of our Saviour, Jesus, the one who saves his people from their sins? Do we glory in our great and glorious Saviour for all that he's done in redeeming our soul? Well, what think ye of Christ, says the hymn writer? What think ye of Christ is the test. What think ye of Christ? We need to answer that, don't we? What do we think of Christ? What does he mean to us? I don't think he means very much to most people today. Doesn't seem to mean very much to most so-called Christians today. Because they don't want to talk about him. They don't want to speak about him. And just wander on. Talk about everything else under the sun. But oh, what a mercy it is. If Christ is precious. What think ye of Christ today? What's the answer to that question? What do you think? You may not be able to say anything. But it's a great blessing if you can. It's a great blessing, a wonderful Saviour, if you can say he is a precious and glorious Redeemer to me. I am a sinner, a lost sinner. Jesus came to seek and to save me. And he found me. He found me. See, what a mercy that is, isn't it? The Lord may bring situations into our lives which causes us to consider our ways. It will be a blessing in your little life, in my little life, if we've come there. We've come to a time when the Lord has caused us to consider our state, realizing that we are a lost sinner on the way to an endless eternity in hell. It's a terrible, terrible thought, and yet applies to the majority of the population. We have to come and say, through the mercy of God, he's caused me to consider my ways. It's caused you, perhaps, to pray. Maybe to pray for the first time. What a mercy it is if the Lord has come and caused you to truly pray for the first time. It's the blessing of God. Not just a mere form of prayers, but to pray from the heart. The heart. And a prayer from the heart is a movement by the blessed Spirit of God which directs you. And you won't come to God then praying in a very proud way, thinking you're worthy to be taken any notice of. You'll realize it's only of God's mercy that he should take any notice of you. And it's therefore in that condition, in that situation, that you come feeling, great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. He's so high and lifted up. Will he look upon me? Will he have mercy upon me? Well, David goes on to say in this, he says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. And that word fear really means to be reverenced. To be reverenced. Because God is so high and mighty. He is to be reverenced. And that indicates, really, in our little lives, what we think of this great God. Whether we do come and we reverence him, we realize he is the great almighty God. We don't treat him as just somebody of casual acquaintance. The mercy when God brings you and me to that condition where we bow down before God. Bow down and recognize he is the great God, the almighty God, who holds our breath in his hands. Well, David goes on in this lovely account and he says, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And there's a difference here between what you and I might think in our head and the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart. You may remember in the New Testament there was the case of a sorcerer who made his money by sorcery, and he thought he would be baptized. He saw others being baptized and he thought he'd be baptized. So he was. And then the people were blessed with the Spirit of God upon them. And he thought that he could also obtain that by paying for it. And that's what he endeavoured to do. And the Peter said to him, he told him that he was deceived and he was wrong. Yes, there was no hope for him because he had a wrong attitude. He had a wrong desire. And how true that is for us today. We should not think that we can purchase salvation. We shouldn't think we can purchase forgiveness. We should realize that our hope of that rests and abides in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. On him and him alone. And so the psalmist says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice. You see, Peter said to that man, his heart wasn't right. He's just doing it from his mind. It wasn't from his heart. It wasn't from love to the Saviour. It was just that he felt he needed such a situation. Well, what a blessing, my friends, if our heart is moved. It's not just a theory in the head, but the Spirit of God has touched our heart, our innermost being. We're moved by the Spirit of God. Yes, that's a great favour then, that let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. So you don't just seek the Lord because you think it's something you ought to do. You seek the Lord because you have a real need. Because you feel and understand that you are a lost and ruined sinner and you need salvation. And the only salvation is to be found in and through the glorious and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings you then to this statement, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. You see, you and I can read a statement like that and this goes over our head. But when the Holy Spirit works it in our heart, we realise the relevance and the truth of it, and we can go along with it. Well, this morning, can we go along with it? Can we bless God for it? And be able to say, yes, by the grace of God, I can say, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. David says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Not just when you turn up at chapel, but day by day. Day by day, hour by hour, perhaps in the night, perhaps in the day. Seek his face. See that he will look upon you. He will look upon us. Turn our hearts towards him to see his great and wonderful work, that wonderful plan of salvation and the cost, the redemption of our souls. You know, when the Holy Spirit leads us, brings us, I come back to this, brings us to Calvary. That's the place. There, by faith, we see this great God suffering and dying upon that cross in order to redeem, to save our souls. Well, I wonder if I had to ask the question very, very kindly and humbly, have you been to Calvary? By faith, have you realized that your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? See, if you have, you'll understand what David said, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. This almighty God has come down into the sinful world in order to redeem my soul. It's very humbling, isn't it? Very humbling to think that you and I, as unworthy sinners, unworthy wretches, on this earth, an almighty God should have singled us out in eternity past to redeem our souls. And the time has come. Time has come in our lives when the Lord has indeed drawn us to the Saviour. And we've seen in him a glory and a preciousness which we never saw before. It's the work of this great God. Great is the Lord. And all of us, my friends, in measure need to understand and come there, that we indeed might be amongst those who desire to praise him for this great work of salvation, this wonderful work of salvation. David goes on and he says, remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders. Oh, this marvelous work a redemption. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven to let us in. My friends, what a redeemer. What a saviour. To think that he condescended to leave glory, perfect bliss, and to endure for those 33 years all the trials of this poor world, and eventually to suffer and to give his life a redemption for many. Well, this morning, what's our reaction as we ponder what Jesus has done? Can we say, with the psalmist, because this came from his heart. This wasn't from his head. It's from his heart. He knew what he was writing. He realized this was the desires of his heart. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. As many so-called gods in the earth today, there's only one true God. Only one God who has created all things. Only one God who can redeem our souls. Only one God who by his grace we shall be found at last with for eternity. How do you view eternity? How do you view heaven at last? Do you think, well, I don't want to leave this world. It's got too many things I want to do. Too many things I want to enjoy. Too many things I want to be involved in. Comes very close sometimes. But you see, heaven is that holy place where sin no more defiles, where Jesus shows his lovely face. Oh, my friends, yes, he's there eternally. It's a situation which our minds cannot really comprehend, the greatness of glory. No sin, no darkness, eternal favour, eternal union with the whole family of God. Nothing to disturb us. Oh, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. By God's grace, if we come there, we shall be able to truly praise God. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Thank him for his wonderful grace, which has come into our hearts, for his amazing love, isn't it? Can you imagine someone loving you so much that they were prepared to lay down their life? A miserable sinner like you and me. Oh, the Saviour. The love of Christ is rich and free. And my friends, it's something which is wonderful to know. And we have to come, or most of us have to come, and mourn that we know so little of it. But do we desire to know it? And do we desire to know more of it? And look forward to the day when we shall enjoy it without any obstacles, and peace in that wonderful place of glory. So, remember his marvellous works that he has done. Oh, it's good, isn't it? To remember that marvellous work on Calvary. So if you get perhaps heavy-hearted, and perhaps the devil is tempting you and saying, well, there's no life in you. You're just a someone who pretend, but you don't possess the gift of God. Well, my friends, direct the devil to Calvary.
can't face it. He realizes that there the battle was lost from his position. Oh, my friend, Calvary is a good place to go to. If you feel down and out of the way, to come there and by grace to view the suffering Son of God dying on your behalf. The good hope there is then to receive that great and wonderful gift of eternal life. It's wonderful, isn't it, that we have that occasion set before us, and we see there those two either side of Jesus, the one brought by the grace of God to believe, the other one left to unbelief. What a mercy for you and me if we're brought to that position to say, we deserve the result of our sins, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And the very simple prayer, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What a mercy for you and I today, if we can say, Lord, remember me. I'm a sinner, an unworthy sinner. But I come on the ground of mercy. And I come praying from my heart, remember me with a favour thou bearest unto thy people, and visit my soul with thy salvation. Let's be clear, real religion is personal. But my friends, what a mercy it is to be a partaker of the grace of God, the free, unmerited favour of God, and to rejoice indeed, and to remember his marvellous works that he hath done. Well, it's good. I hope you enjoyed reading this 16th chapter this morning as we read it together, because it is a wonderful account of David speaking from his heart, and those things that he had tasted, handled and felt, and was able therefore to write down under the blessed influence of the Holy Spirit, to thank him for it. And as we read towards the end of this, verse 34, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. And he finally concludes, blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen. I often find it strange why we don't all say Amen. The word of God is very clear on a number of wonderful statements. When there was the end of a prayer or a statement, the people said, Amen. It means that we agree with it. So be it. Perhaps you don't agree with it. But if you do, it's a good thing to say, Amen. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Well, may you and I be able to praise our God for what he's done in our lives, in our soul. Cause us to consider our ways. Caused us to confess our sins. Cause us to come to Calvary. Cause us to look unto him. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. There's only one way and that's through the death of the Saviour. Oh, my friends, may these things be relevant to us. They are relevant, but you may turn your back on them. You may say, I will not have this man to reign over us. But it would be a great blessing if the Lord comes and touches our heart so that we are made willing in the day of his power to forsake all and take up our cross and follow him. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Hyde will address the Sunday school this afternoon at 2:30. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Hadley. And Mr. Timothy Parrish is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Bernard Burgess is expected to preach. And our friends at Fenstanton hold an Ascension Day special service on Thursday at 7:15. Let us close with hymn 972. 972. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the exalted Saviour now. From the fight returned victorious, every knee to him shall bow. Crown him, crown him, crowns become the victor's brow. Hymn 972.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.